The band's latest release, A New Beginning, recently came out on Century Records. Can you tell us a little bit more about this release, the concept and ideas behind it?
Well, the songs on the record we originally wrote several years ago, just demos, and we decided after a couple of years to just try to, you know, release all these songs like the right way as a real album with an outside producer and professional musicians, real artwork, you know, all that stuff. And so we kind of viewed this whole album as like a fresh start. And so Rudy came up with the idea of calling the album A New Beginning, seems to kind of characterize the spirit that we went into this album with.
Excuse me?
You there?
Yeah, I think it got cut off or something. Can you repeat the last sentence? I'll edit it anyways.
Okay. So we decided to, like, when it came time to make the album, we decided to kind of do it the right way with an outside producer and professional musicians, professional artwork and all that stuff. So it's kind of like, we kind of viewed it as a fresh start for the band and our songwriting and everything like that. So I really came up with the idea of calling the album A New Beginning because it kind of characterized the spirit that we went into this album with.
And what did you guys decided to go the way of, you know, hiring, like you say, professional musicians versus putting up like a local band instead and working like that?
That's a very good question. I don't know.
Well, you were in the band with...
Yeah, I was with this band Until Destiny. It's a good buddy of mine that was actually with our current bassist now, Joe Black. And the drummer in that band was John Macaluso. And I approached him initially about getting that record produced, but we really didn't have a singer or lead guitarist in mind. I just had him in production. We had Dario and Joe Black lined up for bass. And he just offhand recommended that we should get Mike DeMeo, because I really didn't have anybody in mind. And, you know, I knew about Mike DeMeo singing in Riot and in Masterplan. And the minute he came in the studio, he just kind of blew us away. I was like, all right, yeah, let's do it. And again, the time rolled again when we needed to bring in a lead guitarist. We didn't have anybody in mind. A couple names passed around, and it kind of seemed like Marcus Foley seemed like the best fit, and when we contacted him, he was really excited to come into New York City. We hung out with him, and it was just a perfect fit. We, you know, we all had a great personality together, and it was awesome.
So you guys didn't had, you know, some rehearsal time or anything? Everybody just jumped into the studio and started recording the songs?
Yeah, it was more like we just jumped into the studio right away. But this time around, you know, because we have a CD release show, Marco's going to fly in again for a week, and we're actually going to jump in a rehearsal studio, and it'll probably be the first time the whole band is playing together in a rehearsal studio. All 5 minutes.
And would you find it that this is going to be problematic if you guys have, you know, planning on touring and anything? Or is that any plans of the band, or just do, like, one-off shows like you guys seem to be doing in the future?
I don't think it's going to be problematic. You know, of course, everyone's going to have difficult busy schedules, and we're going to have to, you know, plan ahead. But what I love about working with everyone, I know they really have their stuff together. They're always rehearsing the material, even if they have a lot of other music on their plate. And I don't have to worry about them not being ready if we have a tour coming up. And we can just get together maybe for a couple rehearsals, and, you know, everything's going to sound really tight.
And, I mean, going into this, I imagine you guys had to put down a lot of money into bringing all these people and making the record work. Were you guys kind of skeptical about the timing, when to do it, how to do it?
Honestly, we were just, in the beginning, we were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants, not really much everything would cost. If we had known now how much everything would cost, we probably would have second-guessed it. But, you know, now that we're in it and we've sunk all this money into it, it's paid off, like, tenfold.
Yeah.
So,
if we would have heard the final product when we first started and we would have known how much would have been sunk in, I probably would have said, let's keep going because it sounds unbelievable, because I'm pretty much, you know, really, really excited. I never thought it'd come out this good. Yeah.
And how much of the music did it actually change when you brought these people over and they have their own ideas and they probably wanted to do, you know, put the little touch in some other places?
Well, we, Rudy and I wrote the, like, all the guitar riffs and all the arrangements and all the kind of, like, the general ideas a while ago, but when it came time to redo it with other musicians, you know, we took care of our parts, and John Macaluso, the producer, kind of helped simplify my drumming and kind of mold with it a little bit. And then for the other guys, we basically just said, you know, here are the skeletons that we wrote a while ago. Change whatever you want. Make it your own. And so when they came in, a lot of stuff they kept from the original demos, but a lot of things they changed, and for the better, I think. The record is definitely a better representation of the songs. Like, they help capture the actual essence of the songs. That, the demos had the general idea, but we hadn't captured everything that the songs could be. So giving everyone else the freedom to kind of take over their own parts really paid off.
One thing that's definitely different from the demos is that, you know, with John Macaluso there producing everybody, we had lots and lots of layers put in. Not, you know, to make it just sound like this great studio record and it's not going to sound like a live, but it was done very, very well with the thought that we're, you know, we got to perform this live one day because we want to do this as a band.
And where do you see that the project is going? How far do you guys want to take it? What are your goals with Creation Sand?
Well, right now, our goal is to really just get this out and out to pretty much everyone's hands, all the way from our home in New York City to Europe, Japan, and then to start touring next year. You know, hopefully have a couple of tours lined up. We have Prague Power USA, which we're extremely stoked. And, you know, eventually, after all that's said and done, into the studio, maybe end of 2011 or beginning 2012, and take it from there with another killer record.
Yeah, just kind of see how far we can take it. We definitely don't want this to be just kind of like a one-off project. We definitely want to see how far we can go.
I mean, and talking to everybody, they love it, and they definitely want to make another record.
And, I mean, going a little bit into the Prague Power thing, how do you guys got, you know, the chance to play there, since this festival is pretty peculiar of the bands? You guys didn't have a record yet. How did that all came down to?
Well, being on the instrumental, we got an invitation from the promoter through our management, because he got a first listen of the record before it even came out, and he really enjoyed it, and he told the manager that he'd love to have us on board, and of course, without any hesitation, we said, hell yeah. I attended the festival a couple years back, and it's a phenomenal place, and the overall feel of that festival is great, and, you know, once I found out that we're going to be there, I thought it was a great start. It was a great place to start being promoted. And, you know, I was really happy about it. And I think that's how it all came to be.
Yeah, everything just kind of fell into place for that one.
And how do you guys feel that the target audience for this type of music is more overseas than here? What are your thoughts on how you're going to handle promotion, and where are you going to focus more?
I'll leave that up to the promoters. I really have no grasp on who wants to hear what in which part of the world. I really have no idea.
I mean, right now, we're just trying to... I know the songs, as far as promoting, it's hard to get it everywhere because they're longer songs. And but I definitely think we're going to try to make it more universal for the next record, but we're trying to do that already because... I don't know, I feel the record's already pretty universal, just stands the fact that it's their longer songs than if you buy a record that has 5-minute songs. So.
And, I mean, you guys, I mean, know that there's all these other bands that play similar type of music. They have all these big-name musicians. I mean, everybody's doing projects with, you know, some sounds somewhat similar. What do you think is the edge that Creations and has over a lot of other bands to stand out?
I think lately there's kind of been this push toward real, like, technical prowess and this kind of demonstration, the showcasing of individual ability and kind of, wanking off on all the instruments. And I think the cool thing about Creations End, the thing that sets us apart, is that, yeah, everyone in the band is a really good player, but the focus has always been on the songs, and, yeah, there are parts in the songs where you can hear that, you know, each of us can play our instruments, but it's never about any specific person kind of stealing the show. It's always about the bigger picture of the song and definitely melodies carrying the song. Vocal melodies, you know, Marco's guitar melodies, keyboard melodies, everything just in service of the song, whereas some other bands kind of, in my opinion, kind of get bogged down in individual flankery. Yeah, a little carried away.
And, I mean, did you guys, what influences did you guys have when you decided to play this style?
Well, definitely when we wrote the original demo, it's one of the biggest influences at both of our times, I can say that it's definitely Dream Theater.
Yeah, Dream Theater and Metallica, for sure.
So, but I don't know what else. I guess the Symphony X was huge for us.
Big, Evergrey.
Nevermore was definitely huge. I remember in 2005-2006, when I got this guy with the Never, I couldn't put it down for the life of me.
Yeah. And where do you... just keep going, sorry.
Well, that, more recently, at least in my, for me, kind of my influences have been kind of shifted toward more alternative prog and prog rock like Frost and Pineapple Thief and Demiens, and kind of moving away, trying to draw influences from things outside of metal to kind of make the metal music a little bit more interesting.
And, I mean... Where do you think that you want to take the band sound? Like you said, that you're focusing on the song length, maybe, you know, making it a little bit more concise. What else do you think that you want to change for the future releases?
Definitely want to have a few more up-tempo songs, kind of more concise songwriting in general. I mean, even though it's been several years since we actually wrote these songs, Rudy and I have continued writing, and we've grown as songwriters, so I think in the future the songs will be just kind of more concise, more to the point.
Maybe more electronic stuff?
Yeah, definitely want to include some more electronic stuff.
Love that sort of kind of industrial edge. But I mean, definitely the bigger difference is opposed to when we wrote this record, it was mostly me and DJ writing it, or Dario, and everyone else just added their, you know, two cents in their style. We're going to write these demos, and we're actually going to sit down and write it with the members as well.
It'll be way more collaborative this way around.
Yeah.
Who knows what the other guys will bring to the table.
Yeah, all I can say, it's going to be one big surprise.
And do you think that, what do you think is the key feature now, since, like you said, I mean, some of the members live overseas, far away. What do you think is a key feature for this to work out well?
I guess the important thing is just planning and making sure we make time to sit down with each of the members. And if we can do that, then, you know, the songs will come together and everything will be great.
Yeah, if everything's planned out, it's all possible. Because this wouldn't be the first group that has members in two different continents.
And would you guys take the approach of, you know, sending a bunch of tracks over the internet and all this stuff also, or do you like more the more personalized?
Probably initially, when we're first kind of getting ideas together, we may, you know, kind of send tracks back and forth. But when it comes to actually getting the final arrangements down, getting the final melodies, recording, I think we both kind of just want the band to come together in one place to do it, rather than, you know, different studios with different engineers and all that stuff. I think we all want to be in one place when it comes to the final recordings and, you know, decisions to be made.
Yeah, I remember when we were tracking pretty much the the record, with the exception of Marco, because he's only here for a week and we flew in. Anytime we're recording, there would be at least sometimes 9 people in the studio, because everyone would be there and our friends, and they'd be listening to everything being collaborated on, and we'd always have the band there. So that's how we like to work.
And going back a little bit to the album cover, can you tell us a little bit more about why did you guys decided to pick this?
Well, we wrote the song Creation's End a while ago, and so when we decided to put that song on the album and use it as the band name, we thought it was like this idea of kind of the natural and the artificial and modernization and industrialization. It evokes some really cool imagery, some cool possibilities for an album cover. And after Bjornson's illustrations to the artwork, after he had sent us a couple sketches that were really good but just not exactly what we were looking for, we presented him this idea that me and Rudy and John Macaluso and Joe Black had come up with about this tree, and he just nailed it. You know, I couldn't have hoped for anything better. It's amazing.
And when you guys wrote the songs, since you wrote them like years ago, and now somebody else was reading them, somebody else was going to sing them, did you guys have any moments that the guy was like, oh, what the hell is this?
Actually, the singer, Mike, really liked the lyrics. he was kind of surprised at how dark they were, but he really liked them. The only concern he had was that, you know, when I had written the lyrics, when we both had written the lyrics a long time ago, we had someone else sing them, and we just kind of brought them over for Mike, and Mike has a very different style of singing. So when his one concern is like, can I change some of these because I can't fit all these words into these lines? Is it okay if I... I'm like, yeah, sure, do whatever you need to do, and do your thing. So he wasn't really concerned about the content of the lyrics, and we weren't really concerned about him changing the content or anything. It's just a matter of him changing like the number of syllables in each line to make it singable.
Yeah, he felt it was a bit of a mouthful at some parts.
Yeah.
And if you guys will, you know, have to label yourselves, what is your genre? Since some people, I mean, we read other reviews online, some people don't seem to agree with how to describe it. How would you personally describe it?
Well, I kind of the saying it's dark progressive power metal. You know, I kind of feel that even though I don't like the word power metal, I feel that in there.
Yeah. It's big and powerful. I always think of it as kind of this arena. It's kind of like arena metal or arena rock of the 80s. It kind of has this plastic edge to it. So, you know, sort of, I conceptualize it as kind of like arena prog.
Would you guys consider making up a fancy name like most bands do whenever they're young and naive?
Nah, I'll leave that to the fans. They can come up with their own term, whatever they feel like it.
And how you guys are feeling the press feedback and every people that listen to the record? How do you feel that you get your message across? You didn't. People get it. People don't get it. What's your opinion on it?
In general, people seem to be getting it. They're dark and melodic and proggy and heavy and seem to be getting the picture, and they seem to be liking it. So. Mission accomplished, I guess.
Do you think that this will set like a high standard for the next record, and you guys are going to have to, you know, deal with the pressure of this, however you can call that?
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever a band puts out a second album, there are always people who are like, oh, I don't like it as much as the first, or oh, I like the second one better, and there's always going to be that comparison. But in terms of pressure, I mean, Rudy and I, you know, we've grown as songwriters, and we already have lots of really strong material. We're writing constantly, and we have lots of strong material to pull from for the next album. I don't really think there's going to be much pressure that we need to surpass this record, because I think the material just already is really strong.
And do you think that it's going to lose the feel, though, to it, since the other people are going to be providing input also, so it might come out to be a whole different monster?
To some degree, I hope it's different. I don't want to keep making the same album over and over again. I get bored with that. I hope it'll be different. Hopefully it'll be better. it'll be a better album. Totally different, totally better.
Different is good, you know. We need to different things.
We don't want to get stuck in the rut of having the same writing pattern, same sound, same, you know, structure, same everything. We want to, you know, keep expanding and, you know, growing.
And, I mean, what prompted you guys to go to this genre and not, you know, lean towards the more popular genres here in the States now, which is all the deathcore and metalcore crap that we get these days?
I definitely don't really want to go into that metalcore stuff. It feels like a lot of new bands are kind of incorporating, you know, the harsh vocals and all that stuff, but Mike DeMeo is an amazing singer, and I want to use him. I don't want to resort to screaming. I mean, I can't rule anything out. There may be some sections in some songs in the future that may benefit from some accents with harsh vocals, but, you know, we have Mike DeMeo. We want to use him.
And, I mean, just to kind of wrap things up, is there anything else that you guys want to, you know, let people know that North America and Europe that are going to be listening to this interview?
Go out, grab the record, listen for yourself, and check it out, you know.
Yeah. And I've been saying this before, just support metal in general, because you
don't
need your support.
You don't want it to be a dying breed.
Yeah, definitely need to support the metal scene. Whether it's us or your other favorite band or whatever, just support them.
You got to support the new artists.